Blog Talk Radio.
Talladega, Alabama, home of the 2.66-mile, 33-degree bank march we call Talladega Super Speedway. We've got a big show planned out. Let me go ahead and bring on the brains of the operation, my good friend and owner of Speedway Digest and the network, Stephen Wilson. How you doing tonight, friend?
I'm doing pretty good. How about yourself?
We're doing good, Stephen. Just a little bit still hot down here in Talladega.
Yeah, it's been about 90-95 degrees up here in Virginia.
Well, I can't handle that heat, but I can't. Just a little quick rundown right here, Stephen, if you let me have the floor for a second. We've got Adam Alexander, host NASCAR on TV, on TNT, play-by-play college football on Fox Sports 1, coming on at 7:15 Eastern. And then we've got your good friend, Curtis, and I'm probably going to mess this name up. I'll let you say it, Curtis Francois.
Franconis.
Curtis Franconis. Franconis, okay. President of Gateway Motorsports Park. We got him coming on at 7:45. And then at 8 o'clock Eastern Time, we've got our good friend Tony B, Indy 500 champion crew member, with his segment, Everything Open Wheel. And then somewhere around there, a little after 8, I think, our weatherman out of Stillwater, Oklahoma, Mr. Tim Campbell, I think he's going to come on there somewhere around Tony's segment. But any news on NASCAR, Stephen? I've been busy again all day today. I know you have too. While we're waiting on AA, anything you'd like to bring up or talk about?
No, nothing actually too crazy came out of NASCAR this week. So far, no penalties, nothing a whole lot of interesting going on. I mean, we did have the Hall of Fame announcement last week, and but other than that, they really, for being a long race weekend like we had, we really didn't have a whole lot of news coming out of there.
Yes, I know. And it was a pretty good race, and I don't want to bring up the Kurt Busch deal. You know, we'll let Tommy talk about that whenever he comes on. But we were supposed to have Mark Gorney come on and do our invocation. But I'll go ahead and start, Stephen, if that's okay. Go ahead and do our invocation, and we'll kick everything off. Is that okay with you?
Yeah, man, let's go.
Okay. Let's bow our heads. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive them that trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Thank you.
mine just runs chills down me every time I hear it. That's mine and Suzanne's good friend, Donna Elkins. She works at Talladega Super Speedway. That right there was good. But, Stephen, is there anything you want to talk about, or would you like me? I've got some interviews from the dirt track where myself and Suzanne went out there, but I couldn't really get them downloaded. I think I figured out what I'm going to have to do. I'm going to have to get me one of them micro SD cards and put in this thing. But do you want me to talk a little bit about that, or is there anything you want to talk about right now while we're waiting on AA?
The only thing I'm just going to bring up here real quick, I forgot to bring this up a little bit earlier. Last weekend at Charlotte, there was an issue between Jake Crum and Ryan Ellis during the truck race, and NASCAR this past week, late in the week, revoked Jake Crum's intermediate and super speedway license to compete on any tracks larger than 1.25 miles. He can't compete on any short tracks and any road courses the Tampa World Truck Series will go to due to the incident between him and Ryan Ellis. NASCAR is going to keep a watch on Jake Crum throughout the next couple of races, and we'll make a determination then on when exactly he will be allowed to race on intermediate and super speedways again.
Yeah, Stephen, I've seen where you wrote about that and posted that article through Speedway Digest, and I might have went to bed, I don't know, but I did see a picture of, like, where he had went down, he had come down on the guy, and the guy was on the inside, I mean, you know, he was down out of the groove. What exactly happened? Can you tell everybody? Because I didn't see it.
Well, from my understanding is that NASCAR basically went back and looked at this and determined that the incident of him blocking Ryan Ellis on the track, which eventually caused the accident between them on the backstretch late in the race, NASCAR cited him for basically rough driving and putting another competitor into danger when it really didn't need to be. They felt that it wasn't a racing incident, that it was more an aggressive incident, and for that reason, they pulled his intermediate and super speedway license for the time being while he is able to go out there and compete on the short tracks. It was just, you know, at first it kind of looked like an incident where those two, it looked like a racing incident to me, you know, from sitting at home and watching on TV. But like I said, you know, NASCAR did go back. They did take a look at this. And then after the race, they've spoke to both drivers, both Ryan Ellis and Jake Crum, and they determined that it was not a racing incident and that it was more an aggressive move to block the track off to keep Ryan Ellis from advancing his position.
Okay. Yeah, you know, like I said, I had seen your article from Speedway Digest. I got your rule book out right now. I was trying to look through there and see what they – do you remember what section or whatever – was it?
Actually, it wasn't a penalty that's in the rule book. It's at NASCAR's discretion. Can take a look at incidents on the track and rule them non-racing incidents, which would allow for them to revoke a license for aggressive driving and things of that nature. But none of that was specifically lined out in a penalty form. It was just something that NASCAR administratively did on their end.
Okay, so basically that's what you would say, like if you was in the union, which I am, I'm in a union here at the co-op, that would be like a management prerogative or, you know, it sort of overrides everything else, correct?
Yeah, that's correct. And NASCAR has some leeways out there to administratively do things without the need of the rule book. They just take a look at the incidents as they happen on track, and this could happen to pretty much any driver out there. You know, aggressive driving, you know, they want them to go out there. They want them to run 100%, give it everything that they can. But at the same time, you know, they will take a look at incidents and make that determination administratively without the need of the rule book, in which case, like I said, there was no penalty actually assessed to either the driver or the team itself. It was more an administratively pulling his licenses and his credentials to be able to run on anything over 1.25 miles.
Yeah, and I think in my opinion, Stephen, with the way you explained it. I didn't get to see it, but with him doing that, I think he needs to have his hands slapped a little bit, because that's dangerous.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's dangerous when you go out there and you do those kinds of things, blocking the track off, you know, when you're out there racing. We know racing incidents happen, but, you know, you've got to be, you know, there's that fine line that you have to make that determination, and it's hard for NASCAR to really go back, and you can criticize, condemn, and complain all that you want, but the biggest issue is that they're out there to make it as safe as possible, and we know that racing isn't a safe sport at all. But it's their job to go out there and make sure that these drivers are just, you know, in, for the lack of better terms, not being an idiot on the racetrack. And that's really what it came down to, that they just needed to go out there. They need to take a look at the incident and give him something to kind of, you know, maybe sway him to either race differently or to think about his driving style that he has out there on the track.
Yeah, I would definitely agree. I mean, you know, just like you said, Steven, you can't take a 3,400-pound stock car and try to retaliate with it. And, you know, I know, you know, we had Robin Timmerton on last week, and, you know, he was one that said them famous words, boys have at it. But, you know, I didn't really think about it until he said it last week on the show. He said, I meant, you know, boys have at it on the track. He said, you know, whenever you throw a closed fist punch in the garage or wherever, pit area, you know, that's when they have to take action. And, yeah, I would definitely agree. You cannot take a car like that and use it for retaliation. But, anyway, while we're waiting on AA, I know you had sent me a text earlier. You're leading in our fantasy racing league right now.
Yeah, I discovered that here yesterday. I'm leading by 1 point out there in the fantasy racing league. So we'll have to see how the rest of the season progresses out there. I think I'm going to have to start not giving you guys my true picks on the air so that nobody can catch up to me.
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, that Razor Racing, the one that you're leading by 1 point, that's my good friend Ray Brewer at Coochin Valley Electric here. I said, Ray, you ain't in the lead no more. He said, do what? I said, no, Speedway Digest already jumped. He said, by how much? I said, 1 point, Ray. 1 point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, 1 point, but, you know, 1 point adds up to a whole lot over the year. It's taken me a couple weeks to catch up to him, but, you know, we'll see. It's good competition out there. You know, 1 point's still enough that you can close in, and we'll see how the rest of the season goes. But like I said, I think I'm going to have to stop telling people my true picks.
Yeah, you might or two. You might or two. But, yeah, Tony B called me earlier, too, while I was on lunch, and he said, Tim, what are you doing different to jump to – you already gained 2 spots, and you're ahead of me. I said, well, Tony T, to honest God truth, I hadn't been able to change my drivers in 3 weeks, and I left them alone. It just so happened I've been doing good, and I'm gaining on y'all, but I don't think I'll catch you in right.
Well, keep it up. You know, all it takes is 1 or 2 bad weeks out there, as you know, and you can drop like a rock in the points.
Yeah, I know it. But you know, like to our fans or to our listeners, we're in a Yahoo Fantasy Racing League, and you can only start the driver so many times. And I'm down to 1 last start with Kyle Larson, so I've definitely got to change my picks. So
that's been something I've been taking a look at every week, and I've been changing it up a little bit who I've been putting in and taking out, so I get, you know, to maximize, because I know come the end of the season, some of these guys that I started the season with, they're gonna be in the chase, and I'm gonna need them come later on.
Yeah, you're exactly right, Steve. And I'm gonna go ahead and read off if I can. Or probably, I keep saying we're waiting on AA. I've got the official finish from Tyler Short Track. Suzanne printed it for me. If AA comes in, we'll stop as soon as. But the Nesmith Chevrolet Dirt Late Model crates. Dallas Cooper finished first. Your second finisher was my good friend Adam Galdon. Third was Cruz Skinner. Fourth was Kyle Clifton. Fifth was Steve McElroy. Sixth was Mike Combs. Seventh was Justin Angle. Eighth was Brad Whittle. Ninth was Nicholas Kimball. Tenth was Shane Layfield. 11th was Tyler Hill. 12th was Wesley Ford, and Red Farmer finished last. Red Farmer, he got in a wreck. Steve, I don't know if you heard. He hit the front end and the back end. And from what I understand, somebody mentioned, I think Suzanne was talking to somebody, Red, which we had left before Red Farmer had that wreck at the short track, but he was going to travel south to a speedway he hadn't been to in a while, and I think he hurt one of his hands, and he's not going to be able to go. But, Stephen, we have Mr. Adam Alexander waiting on right now, hosts NASCAR on TNT and play-by-play college football on Fox Sports 1. We're going to bring AA in. AA, how you doing this evening, my friend?
Doing good, Tim. How are you?
Sorry about that, AA, a little bit late on the button. Adam, you're in the pit stop on the Speedway Digest Radio Network with myself and Stephen Wilson. Stephen's he writes and everything. He's got a real good thing going. But Stephen, I'll let you have the floor with AA if you want to ask him any questions. You got the floor, bud.
Hey, Adam, I'm going to start off real quick here. You know, you've been up in the booth for quite some time there with Speed, with Fox Sports 1. I just want to get your opinion on how the social landscape has changed the way that you broadcast the races call by call every weekend and cover the series out there.
Yeah, I think certainly, you gather the information that you always have, and I think your job is made easier via social media, because there are so many, great writers that you follow and are doing stories and coming up with fresh angles and probably putting out more material. So I think it helps overall preparation. And then as the broadcast goes, I don't use social media a lot during the broadcast, but it's certainly, something you monitor. And I think it helps you, stay in touch with what fans want. I don't know that you want, the fans at home dictating where you go, because, you always have to be prepared and have the video, to tell the stories that you need to tell. But I think once a race is over, the feedback is good, from the fans to have a better understanding of where maybe you can go in the future or the hot topics that are on their mind.
NASCAR's made a lot of changes coming into this season. We're seeing a new body, a new aero package. There's even talks about changing the motors to bring down the horsepower out there. Where do you see the series kind of going in the future as far as this is concerned? Because obviously, NASCAR is now, and they've always listened to the fans, but it seems like now they're listening to the fans more on what they want to put a better product out on track, which is obviously bringing the attendance up this year.
AA dropped, Stephen. He must be on his cell phone. Maybe he'll come right back. I just seen where he dropped. I just seen where he, yeah, I sure did. But anyway, they're fishing start, this weekend at Dover is the last broadcast on the Fox Sports. And so the next weekend, AA will be on doing their, what they call it, Stephen, the TNT summer stretch.
Yeah, the summer series on TNT.
Yeah, and they do, what is it? Is it four? One, two, three, four, five, six races. They start. They start at Pocono, and they go Pocono to Michigan, Sonoma, Sparta, Kentucky, and they've got Daytona too, and then New Hampshire. Loudon will be their last. But yeah, they've got six. That's a pretty good stretch right there.
Yeah, it's a hard stretch from them because, they're obviously, not a full-time broadcast crew. So, obviously, they're going from one end of the country back to the opposite end of the country to cover but a matter of six or so races. So, it's hard on them to be able to bond with the fans week in and week out, and obviously some of the commentators that are on there have other jobs within NASCAR, within other networks, but it's just hard for them, with six races a year that they're going to be broadcasting, and this is the last year that they're even going to be on the air with TNT. broadcasting races with the new TV package due to go into service next year with NBC and Fox only broadcasting all 36 races. So, you know, it's always been hard for them, and I think from a money aspect and advertising aspect, I think it's always been a lost leader for them. Now, I can't really comment onto that and say that's 100% the truth, but, you know, it would just look to me that, you know, what NASCAR charges for the TV packages and the rights to broadcast these races, that it looks like TNT is, it's obviously a lost leader for them.
Yeah, and, you know, you hit it right on, you know, you hit it on a very good point, Steve. You know, the cost of everything for, you know, all that stuff that's going on, and I'm pretty sure, you know, AA and some of them, you know, they'll move around to NBC and, you know, Fox maybe, and, you know, it's just like my good friend, you know, Buddy Long. He works for MRN, you know, part-time and goes, you know, here and yonder, and been trying to get him back on the show. We've had him on twice before you started Jura Network, but yes, yeah, it's just a lot of stuff goes, the fans don't realize that how much stuff goes into the TV side of it. There's a lot, I mean, you know, you have a lot of people that do a lot of stuff. You've seen it at the racetracks. Myself and Suzanne have seen it. It's just, there's so much that goes into it.
Yeah, obviously. I mean, these crews, they go there on a weekend, and they're there on Wednesdays and Thursdays to start stringing cables and setting up out there for the TV coverage out there. And they're there from, you know, Wednesday or Thursday all the way until late Sunday, Monday at some point, and then have to turn around and travel to the next event and be there within the next, you know, couple of hours or even a day or so ahead notice to start set up again.
Yeah. You're right. I mean, and especially like here at Talladega Super Speedway, you ought to see the cables and wires that's run from here to yonder and everywhere else. But okay, Stephen, we got AA back on. AA, you back in the pit stop, Tim Spain and Stephen Wilson.
Yes, sir. Sorry about that.
Oh, you're fine, AA. Stephen was asking you a question earlier when you dropped, and I wasn't going to butt in on him and let him know you dropped, but. If they can remember what he was talking, I'll let Stephen finish up, and then I got a couple questions too. But
yeah, Adam, I was just asking. You know, this year, you know, NASCAR brought out a new car with new aero package, and now we've got the talks about possibly even bringing the engine horsepower, even RPMs down to bring closer racing out there. And obviously NASCAR is now beginning, and it's not that they haven't always listened to the fans, but it seems like that with the initiatives they have going on between the Grand Council and talking to fans on social media, they're bringing a better product to the track, which is obviously bringing attendance back to the tracks on weekends. Where do you see from the broadcast side of it that where NASCAR is moving towards in the future, not only for you guys but for the competitors?
Well, I think their goal has been to improve racing, and I think the changes they've made to these cars this year certainly have helped in that regard. I think the racing has been very good. I think the new chase format, while it was a little bit cold to be received when it was announced back, you know, in January, I think now that fans are much more on board with that, and I think that with 10 different winners in the first 12 races, that's certainly an indication of how important winning is and how aggressive these teams are going after winning. So, you know, it's difficult because there are so many different aspects of the sport that can make it entertaining, and sometimes, you know, you can have a race that really doesn't provide unbelievable racing, but you get a caution at the right time, and all of a sudden you get an amazing finish, and everybody leaves satisfied. So It's an inexact science to figure out what is going to make all the fans happy and what's going to make the racing good. But I think NASCAR has worked really hard to not only make the on-track racing entertaining, but also make sure the experience in regard to the championship is something that fans enjoy following.
Mayo, Tim, we're just talking about the summer series there on TNT and how you guys only have 6 races that you're going to go to, which you're going to stretch from one end of the country all the way back. What is the toughest part of that schedule that you guys only having but 6 races out there, and obviously this being the last year before the new TV package takes into effect?
Well, I think the toughest thing is as you said, we only have six races, and so it's difficult to get a rhythm going. But I think, you know, compounding that is that it falls right in the middle of the year, you know, which when you get those races in the middle of the season, just to drop in out of the sky and do it, that's tough. So those two aspects, I would say, are what make that the most difficult.
Well, thanks, Adam. I appreciate it, and I think Tim's got a couple questions for you.
Okay.
All right. Yeah, Double A, I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to talk with me at Talladega Super Speedway. I just want to ask you a quick question about the new qualifying format. You know, and here at Talladega was the first time it was done on the Super Speedway. How do you think it went, and do you think the fans like this new qualifying format, Double A?
Well, I think it's been great. I think about, you know, Talladega, where we used to just see them go around one at a time. And, you know, Talladega is the most entertaining or one of the most entertaining tracks you'll see on the schedule when it comes to racing. And the single car qualifying was about as dull as it gets. I don't know that you could make 200 miles per hour or approximately 200 miles per hour any more dull than what we had in qualifying. And I think not only at the super speedways, but at every trick, you've added an element of strategy. You've added a much higher element of competition as teams try to advance from one round to the next. I think it's been outstanding. I think you can always throw stones at new ideas, but I think when you compare the old with the new, what we're doing now is far better than what we were doing before, and I think it's been great for television. It really has made it enjoyable from our standpoint.
Yes, I will agree too, Double A. Yeah, I mean, that's because, you know, it would take, 3 hours to run that qualifying session here at Talladega, and now, you know, you've got it down to sort of like some shootout heat races, just like a dirt track.
Absolutely. The three sessions, 25 minutes, 10 minutes, and 5 minutes with five-minute breaks in between. So you're talking about getting done in less than an hour, as you said, what it took you to do 3 hours before. So I think it's been good. Hopefully it continues to grow and get better. I know the teams will continue to work hard to be more competitive on that side of it, which will only raise the level of competition on the track.
Right. I would agree, Double A. And the phone lines have lit up. Adam, can you take one question from one of our callers?
Sure.
Okay. Adam, this is Mr. Todd Bigsby from upstate New York. His home track is Watkin Glen. Todd, you're in the pit stop with Tim Stain and Stephen Wilson and Mr. Adam Alexander from TNT.
Hey, guys.
What's going on, Todd?
I'm sitting here enjoying our storm we're having.
Y'all having storms up there?
Yeah, we got one coming through tonight, and it's raining quite good out.
Okay. Hey, Todd, Adam said he would take one caller, so I picked you out of the bunch. If you'd like to, do you have any questions for Adam Alexander?
Yeah. With them doing TNT, is TNT going to keep doing it for next year too?
No, Todd, the schedule will change next year. When we go to 2015, Fox will have the first half of both the Sprint Cup and the Nationwide Series. The second half will be NBC for the Cup and Nationwide Series, and both TNT and ESPN will no longer be handling NASCAR in 2015. So this will be our last run at it.
Ah, sorry to hear that.
I'm pretty sure Double A is going to go somewhere else, Todd. We ain't got to worry about that. He does a great job for our sport. I'm pretty sure he'll go somewhere.
This is Steven. I got one more quick question for you. I don't know if this is something that you can comment on or not, but obviously, you know, NASCAR fans are kind of a little disappointed that you guys don't go out to the track for Race Hub on the weekends. Is that something that Fox Sports is looking at bringing back?
For race day, you mean?
Yeah, race day and going out to the racetrack on the weekends and setting the stage up like Speed used to have.
I think that the new format has been to help integrate Fox Sports 1 with Fox. You know, what the plan is going forward, I don't know. But I think that we're trying to maximize all the resources we have. And when we made the move from Speed to Fox Sports 1, you know, the thought process was that we needed to be more one unit instead of separating and being one group doing one show and then one group doing the race. So I think that's where that focus has been. You know, certainly we are continuing to evaluate where we go in the future. And the one thing I can tell you is that the NASCAR programming has performed very well on Fox Sports 1. I know a lot of folks were really concerned when Speed went away of what the future was for NASCAR programming, but it's performed very well. We have the fans to thank for that, for being loyal and continuing to find the programs now that they're on Fox Sports 1. And I think you'll continue to see growth in coverage, just like we had at Talladega when qualifying was on Fox instead of Fox Sports 1, which was a great step for us and certainly shows how committed Fox is to NASCAR.
Well, thank you. I appreciate you answering that for me.
Sure.
Double A, thank you very much for friend and good luck. And I want to thank you for taking your time out to come on our show again. And good luck in the future. And we want to thank you for everything that you do for our sport that we love and cherish. And Double A, don't be a stranger. Maybe we can get you back on if you have time during this summer stretch one Tuesday night.
Okay. I look forward to it.
Okay. Too. All right. Thank you very much, Adam. Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, that was Adam Alexander. I keep calling him Double A. I hope he didn't get mad about that. But Stephen, he had some real good points there, didn't he? I mean, you know, with ESPN and TNT leaving, it's all going to be NBC and Fox. What's your take on that coverage? Do you think it'll be better? Which, you know, we know Steve Letarte's leaving Dale Jr. to go up in the broadcast booth for NBC next year. Do you think that's a good move? What's your take on this, Steve?
Well, I mean, one of the things years ago that, you know, NBC always had excellent coverage out there of the NASCAR races. I mean, you take a look back when Benny Parsons was out there along with Alan Bestwick. I mean, they had very excellent sort of coverage out there of the NASCAR races. So, you know, it's been a couple of years, and Sam Flood, that was the producer of the NBC sports coverage years ago, is back in charge again starting next year and even starting with NASCAR, American NASCAR, or whatever that show is now that they have on NBC Sportsnet. You know, he's back in charge. He knows what he's doing, and he's got the coverage now. So I don't think we're going to see much different than we already do right now. I think it's just a matter of how well the commentators will work together. Obviously, Jeff Burton is going to be on the coverage along with Steve Letarte, and there's some others that are going to be moving over. Rick Allen from Speed Champ.
Yeah, that's right. And I got sidetracked there. Sorry. Double A texted me. He said, thanks for having me. And I told him, we appreciate you. Can come back anytime. No problem. But, okay, we've got Todd. And I put Todd back on. Let's bring Todd back on. Mr. Todd Bisbee, upstate New York. Sorry about that, bud. We had a little bit going on. But is there anything you'd like to throw out to myself or Steven about this past weekend at Charlotte at the 600?
Well, I know it was a great race. I know they had a lot of engine failures. What do you guys think about this coming weekend for Dover?
Steven, go ahead.
I mean, as far as this weekend at Dover, I mean, there's obviously a lot of guys out there that have a chance of winning out there. Kyle Busch, you can't discount him out. Carl Edwards, you know, there's a number of drivers out there that have the ability to win out there this weekend. It's a long race. It's a tough race with the tires being run on concrete the way that they are. So it's going to come down a lot to tire management this weekend again. So we'll just have to see where it goes. And in the end, you know, whoever can manage their tires on that concrete is obviously going to, you know, come out and take the checkers flag this weekend. And who that is, I'm really not 100% sure myself, but there's a lot of drivers in the field right now that have the ability to be able to manage their tires the way it needs to be and win the race.
Well, and, you know, Todd, I would definitely agree with Steven. And, you know, the 48 won this past weekend. You know, a lot of folks been saying the 48, you know, the rule changes and all this got him in a slump. But 48's pretty good at Dover, too, Tar.
Well, this weekend's race means a lot because we have Christie's name on Denny Hamlin's autism car.
Oh, really? Yeah, I had seen something. You had told me something about that. That's pretty cool. And, Todd, would you like to, I know you've talked about it before, would you like to talk about everything that you do for autism?
Well, at the beginning of the year, we drove our Blazer around Watkins Glen track for $25 for 3 laps. And trust me, if I had more money, I would have kept right on going. I know a lot of kids with autism, so any awareness that I can put out there, I try to do so. And now I am in the process of collecting tabs for cans for kids with cancer in Florida for Darian Martin Racing.
That's real good, Todd. Yeah, I want to give a big shout out to you for what you do for everything for the kids with cancer. And here you go, Todd. We'll give you a big applause. Thank you, Todd. And would you like to stay on, or do you need to go, or whatever you want to do? I'm going to try to go over some short track stuff here from Todd's short track before we have our next guest on, Curtis Francois. I messed it up again. President of Gateway Motorsports Park. Would you like to stay on, Todd? I'll stick you over here in the side table if that's okay.
Well, that's perfectly fine with me. I come so I can listen because I missed it last week because I had to go to a dirt race. So I made sure I wasn't missing it this week.
Okay. Tempo, I'm going to put you over here. And Stephen, like I told you before, I got some interviews. And now, I'm not going to play that one right now. I got some stuff I'm going to try to play if I can figure out, because for some reason I couldn't get it downloaded. You know how you helped me last time. It would not download. But this is Mr. Tato Super Speedway. This is Mr. Ross Martin. I'm going to try to play it over my mic here. Maybe it won't be too bad.
This is Ross Martin. We're at Talladega Short Track in the pit stop with Terry Stein and Stephen Wilson. Ross, how's your car been running lately, bud?
We've had a pretty good year so far. We won and been in the top five. Been traveling around trying to follow this 525 series and had some bad luck when we get out of town different tracks, but running good here at Talladega.
That sounds good, Ross. And, you know, you're getting ready for the hot laps and everything. Do you think your car is going to be pretty good tonight, bud?
Yeah, we're running this new Chevrolet 525 motor. It's been an experimental deal for the last 4 years through Chevrolet, and we have a lot of success with it. It seems like this hot summer night, you know, the track will dry out. The old motor runs really good. We're really excited about it, so we feel good about tonight.
That sounds very good, Ross. And do you want to give a big shout-out to your sponsors or anything while you're on there?
Yeah, I want to say thanks to Blake Dorsey Trucking, Magnolia Place, for sponsoring me, Sam Fraser Tire, and all the crew that helped me, Jeff Hands, Rick Stenson, Clay McClendon, Ryan Wells. Without them, I couldn't do it for sure.
That sounds good, Ross. Thank you very much, bud, and good luck tonight, my friend.
Thank you.
Steven, that was Mr. Ross Martin. He is second in the points in the super late model. The Chevrolet Boas Super Late Model at Todd Davis Short Track. Tim Rozelle is leading the points, and Ross is second. Did that sound okay, Stephen, or was it too loud, or what?
No, it sounded fine to me. You were talking about Red Farmer earlier. I've read a lot about Red Farmer, and I still can't believe that he's still out there running races like he is. Last I heard, what was he, late 70s or something like that, if I remember correctly?
Oh, Lord, Stephen, I can't remember, but he still gets around good. You know, Suzanne got a picture with him, and we talked for a long time, and I've got an interview. Did I tell you earlier that, I might have said earlier, he was in a wreck after we had left and hurt his hand. I, think I did. He was going to go. But, yeah, I've got an interview with him. Let me see if I can find it. I don't want to be no – here it is. Let me see if I – here's a Red's interview. Steven, if you want to listen to it, let's see how it goes.
This is Tim Despain, host of the speech of the test of Tim Despain, Stephen Wilson. We're entitled to a short track with Mr. Red Farmer, legendary NASCAR racer. Mr. Farmer, how are you doing tonight?
So far doing fine, but I haven't raced yet, so I don't know.
That's right, that's right. And you say you're going to race tonight and everything's going to be well. I think you're going to be good, Mr. Farmer. And you say you got a lot more traveling you're talking about doing, correct?
Well, yeah, we're going down to Bloomington, Alabama. They've got the Southwest Creek race down there Monday night. And I haven't been down there in years. Last time I went down there was, I don't know, maybe 10 years ago and ran a race for P.J. Parker, the Southern All-Stars, and a super late model. So I'm kind of anxious to go back down into with the track kids again.
Yes, sir. And then again, I know you said you hadn't raced yet. You told me earlier, we ain't got nothing to talk about. But, Mr. Red, I want to thank you for taking time out to do an interview. And we want to thank you for being one of NASCAR's legends. And thank you very much, Mr. Farmer. Good luck tonight.
All right. Thank you very much.
Red is super cool, Stephen. I mean, you know, you can walk up and talk to him. And he talked to Suzanne just like nonchalant. But, yeah, I don't know exactly how old he is. I guess I'll have to Google it, Stephen.
Yeah, the last time I thought that, I had looked it up. He was somewhere in his 70s. And, you know, I have read up a little bit on him over the years and some of the things that he did in NASCAR and just, you know, a lot of these guys, they don't go out and they don't race as long as he has. You know, I feel that maybe Mark Martin will probably be a guy like him that will go out and race until he just can't race anymore. But, you know, Red's one of those guys. He's been around at the dirt tracks and been around on everything that you can think of over the years, and he's still out there getting it along. And, you know, one of these days, hopefully they'll put him in the NASCAR Hall of Fame for all the racing he's done.
Amen. You're exactly right. And, you know, he was in that helicopter when, you know, David crashed that helicopter here at Talladega Super Speedway, you know, when he tragically lost his life, David lost his life. You know Red was in that helicopter with him, correct?
Yeah, I remember seeing something about him being in that helicopter crash out there. And, you know, that's been quite some time ago. And we just had the anniversary here a couple of weeks back. And yeah, you know, Red, like I said, he's seen a lot in NASCAR, and hopefully, you know, like I said, one of these days they'll put him in the NASCAR Hall of Fame.
I believe they will. And, you know, Red's one of them types. If they had a lawnmower race out there at Talladega Short Track, which I'll talk to you about that later, if they had a lawnmower race, he'd have him a lawnmower in there.
Yeah, he's a true racer at heart, that's for sure.
Yeah, he is. And, Stephen, let me get one more, Cruz Skinner. I talked to him, and I told him that I would have him on tonight. So I'm going to, let's see, where is he at? Cruz is third in the points, right behind my good friend Adam Gollard in the Nesma Chevrolet Dirt Late Model Crate Division. Dallas Cooper's leading that. But let me see if I, let me play Mr. Cruz Skinner, and I got a story to tell you about that, which I won't tell it on the air. I'll tell you later. This is Cruz Skinner, ladies and gentlemen, from Talladega Short Track.
This is Tim Despain, host of the Pit Stop. Tim Despain and Stephen Wilson. We're at Talladega Short Track with Mr. Cruz Skinner. Mr. Skinner, how are you doing tonight, friend?
I'm doing pretty good. How about you?
I'm doing good. And you got a nice ride there, son. How you think she's going to be tonight, bud?
I think it will be pretty good if we can just hit our points and do what we do.
Yeah, and I know you know what to do. And, Cruz, if you want to give a big shout-out to your sponsors or anything, we're going to air this to you tonight on the Pit Stop Tennis Plan, Stephen Wilson. You got the floor, my friend.
Oh, yeah, it's me, Skinner Body Shop, Skinner Motors, Napa, and
all that. Sounds good, Skinner. Hey, good luck tonight, Cruz.
Thank you.
Yes, sir, you're welcome.
And I'll go ahead and tell it, Steve. I did not know this kid. I didn't know he was a kid. He's 12 years old, driving a crate late model. And I walked over and seen his car. I said, this gentleman here's got a nice ride. And I was talking to somebody. He said, yeah, Cruz will be back in a minute. Well, I was standing over there talking. One of the crew members was messing with the tires on Cruz's car or whatever. And this little fella come up and I said, "Hey, bud, what's going on?" He said, "I'm Cruz Skinner." And I thought, okay, Cruz Skinner, 12 years old, and can drive a Dickens out of that crate late model.
Yeah, it's surprising. You go to the short track, and there's a lot of young drivers out there. I mean, you take a look at Greg Dalton out there that's running a little bit in the truck series and running full-time there in the K&N series. I mean, he was running a lot of short tracks around not only Virginia and North Carolina when he was, you know, 11, 12, 13 years old out there, you know, started getting into the K&N series. So when he was about 15 or 16, and I think it's 17 now, which makes him eligible to run a couple truck races. But, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of young kids out there. That's the soul of NASCAR. That's the soul of any racing out there that we got, not only on dirt, but asphalt and everything in between. And, you know, you just never know who the next kid is coming up through the ranks that's going to impress somebody in NASCAR or in another series and get them a good ride out there.
You sure don't, Steve. You ain't got a clue. And what was I going to say? Oh, just to tell you a little short story. I walked into turn four down there the other night, and I was going to take some pictures, and the little safety guy was in turn four. He said, "Tim, you can come across and come over here by the track." And I said, "Nah, I don't really." He said, "Tim, you can trust these." He said, "Now, some of that other bunch, I don't know if you might want to come over here." Well, you know, Suzanne's sitting up there talking with her lady friends, and I'm down there with the camera, and I go out there toward turn four, and I get right up on the wall right there by the bear, and I'm taking pictures, I don't know, 3 or 4 minutes, and all of a sudden, here comes one of them super late models, completely sideways. I tried to get some yonder from out there, and the whole crowd was laughing.
You gotta give it to some of those guys that go out there and that they're out there.
Are you there, Steve?
Yeah, bud, you should. Oh, you're there.
Yeah,
sorry, bud. Yeah, I dropped you there for a second. Yeah, you know, some of those guys, you know, I sit out there and I watch them there on the race weekends, and they're hanging along the wall, taking pictures and things like that. Man, I tell you what, I've been out there, I've tried to take some pictures, and I've tried to sit out there, but I tell you what, I got to give it to those guys that sit out there and try to take pictures and sit along the sidewall like they do.
Yes, sir. You're exactly right, Stephen. But we have a blast. It's a short track. And, you know, everybody needs to support the NASCAR home tracks, everybody's short track, but Stephen, I'm gonna let you have the floor here with Mr. Curtis. I'm gonna bring him on, and I'm gonna let you have Curtis. Curtis, you're in the pit stop with Ken Spain. Stephen Wilson. Stephen, have at it, my friend.
Hey, Curtis, how you doing tonight?
Oh, I'm doing just great. Doing just great. Excited about a race coming up here in St. Louis.
Yeah, so you guys, you went out there, and from what I was reading a little bit earlier is that you had raced out there previously, I believe it was in the drag racing series, if I'm correct, and you came out there and you guys bought Gateway from Dover Motorsports, and this year you're going to bring the truck series back. Can you guys talk a little bit about what it took to get the facility back up and running? I know it hadn't been, you know, down and decommissioned for too long, but just talk a little bit about what you guys had to put into the facility to get it back ready for NASCAR and to bring the truck series back here in 2 weeks.
Sure. You know, there's been a lot of work to it. I actually, I raced out here in road racing through the SCCA and then later on went into Grand Am and some Indy Lights, and had been at this track, raced to the Indy Lights car here years ago, and St. Louisan, and born and raised here, and just know what this facility means to St. Louis and all the great racing fans here. So the track closed in 2010. Ultimately, I got involved with it in 2011, reopened it in 2012 with the NHRA Midwest National event, purchased the track in 2013, and now here we are in 2014 with our Camping World Truck Series race with NASCAR coming back to St. Louis June 14th. So it's been a lot of work, but fans are appreciating what we're doing, and they're supporting what we're doing, and a lot of happy folks that NASCAR is coming back to St. Louis on June 14th.
You know, obviously in the NASCAR series, you know, there's obviously a lack of short tracks out there, and Gateway can be classified out there as a short track. what do you feel that you guys have got something special out there with Gateway being a short track out there that the fans can come out there and enjoy and kind of, you know, bring back some of those roots of NASCAR?
You know, clearly we do have something special. I think it starts with the track, a mile and a quarter track. It races fast, but also is a driver's track. And so I think that fans, when they come out to see the trucks race here, will see great racing. And that's what it takes to keep them coming back year after year. So we've got great racing, but we also have great fans here who are appreciating what we're doing. You know, we're working hard to bring back the grassroots motorsports movement here in the region. And so certainly, I think Gateway has great fans, a great track, and that should make for a great event.
You know, one of the things that, you know, as they say in racing is it's easy to sell tickets the first year, but it's the second year and beyond that you really have to work for. You know, I know you haven't even made it to the first event yet, but what are you looking forward to in the future to make sure that those fans come back out to the racetrack, not only in the second, but third and fourth year?
Yeah, it's a great question, and it really goes to who we are and what we're trying to do. We're really trying to change the fan experience in here to make sure that when folks come out to the track, they notice a difference. And that might be as simple as you know, a friendly face at the ticket takers, but also to see that the facility looks and feels as if someone really cares about the place. And so as a local owner, a guy who takes pride in his community but also in the racetrack that I now own, I think when folks come out, they'll see what we're doing and feel the difference. And I think that it's so important for the fans to begin to take pride in their facility. You know, Gateway has had its ups and downs, but I think clearly now people see that we're on our way up, and we're asking for that support for the fans to come out, support us in our bigger races, so that we can do all the grassroots motorsports stuff that that participants and fans as well here in the region like to take part in. So, you know, there's so many things that it takes to make a track successful, but I think the most important is that fans call the track their own and take pride in their home track.
And with the Camping World Truck Series coming back this year, are you guys looking for anything bigger and better, maybe a dual weekend with Nationwide Series?
You know, I'll tell you, what we're concentrating on is putting on absolutely the best truck race that we possibly can. This is the premier NASCAR event in the region right now, and for good reason. It's great racing. So where we're concentrating is only on the trucks. Certainly we listen to all different types of opportunities, but where our head is right now is to put on absolutely the best truck race we possibly can.
And talking about a little bit about the truck race, is this something that you guys went to NASCAR and asked them about, or was it something that NASCAR approached you guys thinking that they might be an opportunity to race at Gateway?
You know, I can't say there was a definitive answer to that in that someone approached. We were at a couple of events together, and great conversations came out of being introduced and talking with those guys. And I think it was really a collaborative effort to kind of see where we were and then to combine the resources and come up with a good date for the truck race. So I can't say that there was a specific party that pursued one or the others. It was very much a collaboration.
Well, thank you, Curtis. I appreciate you coming on the Pit Stop tonight, and I wish you guys the best of luck. If you guys got any sponsors or anybody you'd like to thank to bring this shark race back to Gateway, you've got the floor, buddy.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, the one that we really want to talk about here amongst others, but, you know, the name of our race is the Driving for Lineman 200, and this race is all about bringing recognition to the power linemen here that are out in your communities each and every day, making sure that when you flip a light switch, your lights turn on. There's a lot of these guys out there that are unsung heroes, and certainly want to make sure that this event brings recognition to those guys across the United States. Just such an important group of first responders, and as the race goes on year after year, we really intend to make sure that their cause is forefront and that they're recognized for what they do every day for us. It's just an important part of our world that we live in, is making sure that when the lights go out, the guys that bring them back on are being recognized. So it's important from a first responder standpoint that those guys get the credit that they need, and their causes and the fallen linemen are certainly recognized. You know, we certainly have American Ethanol, which we're just thrilled to have, as well as Ameren UE, which is our regional carrier, electrical carrier here, that are on board, all partnering together to make sure that we bring a great event here to St. Louis.
Well, again, thank you. I appreciate you coming on tonight, and good luck a couple weeks here with the Truck Series, and we'll check back into you after the Truck Series and see how you guys did.
Great. I sure appreciate it.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Bye-bye.
Steve, I have myself on mute and talking to myself. I was going to tell you that I was lying to myself, but that's okay. Stephen, we've got our weatherman, Mr. Tim Campbell, out of Stillwater, Oklahoma. We want to bring him on. He does our, for all our new listeners, he does our weather forecast for the race weekend. He has the weather forecast for upcoming Dover, and he's got a big announcement about one of his websites that he brought on. Tim Campbell, you're in the pit stop with Tim Spain and Stephen Wilson on the Speedway Digest Radio Network. How are you doing tonight, bud?
Oh, I'm doing pretty good. It's raining out here. We're getting a little bit of our needed rain, but we need a lot more.
I can understand that.
Okay, I just wanted to start out with letting everybody know that I got a website now where you can check out your national weather, and I got a separate page on there for race weekend weather forecast. Wherever the race is going to be, I'll have the weather will change every day. I'll have it posted on that website where everybody can go check out the weather as it changes every day. And hopefully that way we can have a better view on how the forecast is going to look by the end of the week. It's kind of hard to do on Tuesday and tell what it's going to do on Sunday. So hopefully this way everybody can go to the website and check out the weather day by day, and it's skywarnweather.weebly.com, and you can go on there anytime, day or night, and check it out, and we'll have the national weather daily on there and the local weather daily, and it's just a real nice website, and hopefully we can get everything all worked out on here. And we got our Friday night, or Friday during the day, is I got it looking like 74 degrees with mostly cloudy in the morning, then becoming partly sunny, highs in the 70s on Friday, and low 59 on Friday night with partly cloudy, lows in the upper 50s. Saturday looks like it's going to be high of 75 and mostly sunny, highs in the upper 70s. And Friday night or Saturday night's going to be partly cloudy, or Saturday's going to be mostly sunny, highs in the upper 70s. Saturday night's going to be partly cloudy, lows in the upper 50s. And race day is going to be highs in the mid 70s with a high of 75. And Sunday night is mostly clear, lows in the 50s. So hopefully there's no rain for the weekend, it looks like. Most of the rain hopefully be over with by the time the race gets here, and it'll be dried up where we'll have a nice race, and we'll go from there.
Okay. That sounds good, Tim. And I want to thank you again for being our weatherman. And is there anything you want to throw out right now about some of the severe weather? I think it's between me and you right now, isn't it? Anything you want to talk about? Tornado watches?
We're having a lot of severe weather down in Texas, and we got 3 tornado warnings down in Texas going on right now, and we got some severe thunderstorm warnings, and none for Alabama so far. We got some for South Dakota and Ohio, and we got one severe thunderstorm for Delaware, and a bunch of them for Texas. But hopefully that'll all be over with by the time the Sunday gets here, and we'll have a nice race and no rain, hopefully. Cross my fingers.
Yes, sir. You got that right. And you say, like you said last week, you said Stephen Wilson's got snow coming, right?
Yeah, I think he needs some snow. He's had enough of this warm weather for a while. We need to send him some snow and maybe some snownadoes. And
Stephen, you got a comment or not? Oh, Stephen's dropped. I just had to look up the laptop. Stephen is dropped. Maybe he'll call back in. But Tim, thank you very much. I wanna give a big shout. Where's my button at? I got all these buttons that I can't figure nothing out. I wanna give you a big shout out again for being our. I'm looking. Well, we'll have to start toting this a little bit better. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, this is Mr. Tim Campbell out of Stillwater, Oklahoma. Stillwater Sky Warm. Y'all look him up on Facebook and Twitter. He's got all your weather needs and. He's a good friend of ours and doing a great job for the Pit Stop team of Spain and Stephen Wilson, Speedway Digest Radio. Tim, thank you very much for coming on again. Tell Ms. Campbell we said hello, and thank you for doing your storm chasing stuff to try to save lives, but we appreciate it.
Okay. Hopefully we'll have a good race, and everybody let's get out there and do some racing.
That's 10-4, bud. We'll talk at you next week, my friend.
Okay. Good evening.
You too. All right, that was there's Stephen Wilson back, I think. Stephen, is that you? Well, Stephen, can you hear me, son?
Yeah, man, I got you. Sorry about that. It's like every single week, right in the middle of the show, my phone decides that it's gonna drop a phone call on me.
Well, I think it was just like last week whenever I told Tim that you was getting snow. They done the same thing. He said, yes, Stephen needs some snow. So he said you're getting snow this weekend.
I hope we get some snow. But then again, we've had about 4 or 5 snow days this year as it is. And, you know, I at the time, I was like, yeah, I want some snow. And then you get tired of the snow, and you're like, I can't wait for the heat. And I can't wait for the heat to leave.
I know it. And we've got Tony B. Well, Suzanne's got him in the screening room. They can't hear us. We got Tony B, and I'm pretty sure I talked to him earlier, Stephen. And while he's in the screening room where he can't hear us, I had mentioned me and Suzanne talked to him about maybe getting some callers on. He wants to get a little bit more familiar. You know, he says he can get some Indy, which I know he can get some Indy drivers. But he's wanting to get a little bit more familiar with everything. I said, Tony, you'll be fine. You know, try to get him to do his own show, but he wants to. He said he wants to stay with us till then get comfortable. But, Tony B's a Indy 500 champion crew member. And we want to bring Tony B on and let him do his segment, Everything Open Wheel. And I'm gonna put this out to him. I'm probably going to make him mad. But he is our bodyguard. But I'm going to check this out, Steve. I just found this today. Listen to this.
Say hello to my little friend.
I heard that.
What are you talking about? I figured you would. But
I heard
maybe
that.
You won't come down.
Sorry, you know, I can tell you everything open wheel is pretty doggone good, and I've been getting it pretty doggone right. But I cannot beat Mr. Stephen Wilson at Fantasy Racing. That man is number one, and he is number one in my book.
I'm only one point ahead. That's not enough comfortable cushion out there for me yet. We'll see what goes on here in the next couple of weeks.
Well, the way I got it figured out, Stephen, is, and I don't know how Tim did it. Well, I figured it out, but I better not put it out on broadcast radio how he did it. But he passed me, too, and we're 1-2-3, and we'll just finish that way for the season. How's that?
No, man, we got to have some competition. There's a long ways left in this season. We're only a third of the way done.
Well, you know, I've just kind of been holding back on you guys because I figured if I showed my A game right out the gate, y'all wouldn't let me play no more. So I tell you what, I did have something wrong, and I want to tell everybody, the listeners and the wonderful people that call in to the Pit Stop Radio Show with Stephen Wilson and Tim DeSpain and Suzanne DeSpain, I had it wrong about Kurt Busch. He finished sixth in the Indianapolis 500 and was Rookie of the Year. A NASCAR driver has not been Rookie of the Year at that race since 1970. And if you folks would like to know who that was, it was the famous Donnie Allison. So I have got to give credit to Kurt for doing a wonderful job at the Indianapolis 500. I unfortunately can't say he did that well in the Coca-Cola 600. He had motor problems, and they said he blew a motor, but I think the motor that blew was the one right there in him. You know, 1,100 miles in one day is a tough program. But congratulations to Kurt Busch and his team, and they did really well. And I was very fortunate to be involved with the Little 500 from Anderson Speedway in Anderson, Indiana. It's a race before the Big 500 at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, and there was very many good and celebrity drivers involved, and I happened to be crew chief and on a team, and we qualified second and started on the front row, 11 rows of three, and they run 500 laps, 410 sprint cars, wide open, 10 to 11 second laps, 500 laps, and two live pit stops. And we led the first 44 laps. And unfortunately, the 45th lap, somebody that we were lapping didn't give us much room. They kind of showed us the wall. So a great race. And credit goes out to Jacob Wilson, who has won the Little 500 on his own program 2 years running. So it was quite a sprint car spectacular event.
Yeah,
so
go
ahead.
Yeah, talking about Kurt Busch, I'll just interject this real quick. He was credited with officially completing 906.5 miles this year doing the double.
That's amazing. He did a really good job, and he did have car issue. And from what I was able to obtain, it was a motor issue, a blown motor. And
it was a valve train issue in both his car and in the 10 car of Danica Patrick, which both engines are supplied for Hendrick Motorsports.
Exactly. And I have to give it up for Danica. Her qualifying fourth, I was really impressed with her. And she's going to prove a lot to a lot of people. And I'm just wondering if Haas is not thinking about putting Kurt Busch or Danica, who's going to Formula One with Haas Motorsports. Do you know, Steve?
That I really have no clue. I know that he just got his Formula One license provisionally approved here. I think it was about 3 or 4 weeks ago they made the announcement of the provisional licensing. And I don't know. I don't know who will go. I don't think you're going to see Kurt Busch go over there just because of, I think he would be a good driver in F1 just because his talents are very – he's got some good talents. You're not going to see Tony Stewart. You may potentially see Danica Patrick go to F1, and only because
mm-hmm.
of her having the experience in open-wheel racing.
Right. And I think she would do quite well. Juan Pablo Montoya did well. And I don't know if you guys are aware of the fact, what Kurt Busch did was quite respectable, getting Rookie of the Year, when Sage Karam, his first Indianapolis 500, started 31st and finished 9th and did not get Rookie of the Year. So that speaks highly of what Kurt Busch did at the Indianapolis 500.
No, I mean,
you know, that's
he
why
definitely...
we got you, Tony. I'm sorry, Stephen, go ahead.
Kurt Busch really did NASCAR proud out there, running out there. He matched Tony Stewart and his best finish out there in the Indianapolis 500 while running the double. And he, he had some issues early on in the Coke 600. He was obviously worn out. He was obviously tired. You could tell that not only in him mentally, but you could tell that with the way that he was talking out there to the pit crews and talking to his crew chief. He was obviously mentally worn out, but he was 110% intent that he was going to finish all 1,100 miles. But, you know, he did NASCAR proud in the Indianapolis 500. He won the Rookie of the Year for the Indianapolis 500 out there. So, you know, you're right. I did see Sage Karam out there. I was watching him throughout the day out there running through the race. You know, him and Kurt Busch, you know, at the early goings, you know, they made a lot of smart moves out there to put them in the position that they were. Kurt Busch, I thought there was a couple instances out there where he was going to be involved into something. But you know what? He kept his nose clean. He did what he needed to do. And I was with you. I was 100% with you, thinking he would finish mid-pack. But no, he finished sixth.
I really thought that, and I'm giving credit where credit is due, I really thought he would be a mid-pack man. But I was quite impressed with his ability. And the team, you know, that takes a great team to do what they did. And I'm very proud of him. And happy, you know, when you go back to 1970 and Donnie Allison, which was a phenomenal race car driver, I mean, that's really says something for Kurt Busch. And I look forward to him to try to do it again, and I feel like he will. Don't you?
Yeah. Yeah, actually, I think he will do it. He was talking after his accident. Oh, well, I'm sorry, not his accident, but his engine expiring there after the Coke 600. He was talking to some of the media down there where he said that he would love to do it again. And, in fact, he plans on doing it again. And, you know, whether it'll be next year, who knows? I don't have any clue. But what I would like to see is I would like to see somebody else try it along with him. I don't know if Tony Stewart has the stamina and the ability to do so anymore, not that he's not a good driver and can't do it. I just don't think at this part of his career that he can do it any longer physically.
And I would somewhat agree with you, but on a high note for Smoke, Tony Stewart, he was back in a World of Outlaw sprint car practicing in Pennsylvania and did very, very well. So that speaks volumes that he is recovering, and we will see a comeback. Smoke will rise.
Oh no, I think he will. I don't think we've got any doubt that Tony Stewart won't go out there and give it 110%. I mean, he isn't working back towards that 110%. And it just may be me, but I don't think, you know, physically at this part in his career that he would be able to go out there and run that 1,100 miles. I think it's really for the younger crowd, and that's not a disservice for him as a veteran of the sport and of auto racing. I think that just because of, you know, what they have to endure through those, you know, 11, 12 hours of racing, I mean, you take a look at Hendrick Motorsports sent his personal doctor to monitor Kurt Busch for 48 hours prior to the race, put him on a specific nutrient nutrition regimen as well as a workout regimen, I don't think that, you know, Tony Stewart at this point in his career would have the stamina and the physical ability to do so just because of what it now takes to run that 1,100 miles.
Yeah, well, and that would have to be, and I know Tony quite well, it would have to be something he wanted to do because he doesn't do anything that people tell him to do. And God
bless
him.
And
he's an incredible man, and we're good friends, and we've done a lot together, and he is he's going to come back, and he's going to do the open wheel thing and keep that team going, and I mean, I'm very proud of him for that. And on another open wheel thing that Tony Stewart has been involved with, Brian Clausen in USAC National Sprint Cars, Silver Crown Cars. Brian Clausen signed to race in 2015, and they have signed him with the Jonathan Bird cafeteria team, and they're not only looking at him for a year, they've put a plan together for maybe the next 15. And, you know, we got to race with Brian Clausen at the Little 500, and he did quite well. And so there's a lot of good things going on in open wheel. And I spoke with Jason McCord today from USAC. He is a director for Open Wheel National Series, and I spoke with him today, and I said, it's, you know, with Brace Yourself is working with USAC to put some series together and to help some drivers, not only by them wearing the device and saving lives, but helping USAC money-wise to get back to the day when I started racing open wheel, you know, Billy Englehart and George Snyder and Jim McElreath and, you know, Herdebees, and the list goes on. Those people knew my name because I watched them race at these local tracks in midgets and sprint cars and Silver Crown cars, and then went to IndyCar and took these huge numbers of fans with them. And we're reverting back to that, and I think it is a good thing for all of motorsports, NASCAR, everybody. You know, you start at the bottom and come your way up. And I'm not taking anything away from Takuma Sato or anybody like that. They're wonderful drivers, but they wonder where their fan base is. They haven't come up through the ranks and developed these people. They showed up with the money, and they raced carts, whether it was in Brazil or here or there, and they have the talent and the ability. But the bottom line is, this sport is held together with sponsorship and fan base. And I've got to give credit to all the major sanctioning bodies. They're doing good work, and open wheel racing is here to stay.
Yeah, I think we've had this conversation several times, and I'm in total agreement with you. There needs to be more drivers coming up through the series. Open wheel either needs to consolidate, or they need to work together in some form or some fashion to bring them up through the ranks, kind of like a NASCAR style series where the drivers can come from running quarter midgets and running go-karts all the way to the late models, to the K&Ns, trucks, Nationwide, ARCA, Sprint Cup, et cetera. And obviously, you know, that's the way that these guys are going to build a fan base, and that's what's going to be for the longevity of the sport itself. And absolutely, you're right, we're absolutely in agreement that there needs to something happen within the open wheel industry and the open wheel series to get some kind of feeder series going, even if it means they have to work together.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And there's a lot of work going on right now, and there's a lot of big things going on right now. I was told today by anybody that goes back and knows racing long before I was involved with racing the way I am, Duke Cook was an incredible race driver, raced at the Indianapolis 500. He put out today that Lucas Oil Raceway Park is going from asphalt back to dirt. And I don't know, you know, NASCAR has run there. The Camping World Truck Series nationwide. And that's huge. And just wanted to let people know that things are going back the way they're supposed to. And it can be nothing but a good thing.
Oh, it's me, Tony B. It's TD. Steven
okay.
Rock.
He's
up there. He's up there where you got to pump sunshine in. I think I keep saying that. He's going to get mad at me. But now, I want to change the subject. I don't know if it was you or Steven. Somebody tweeted or Facebooked a picture of Ryan Hunter Ray's son playing with the little cars on the bricks. There,
yes.
At Indy, was that you that
and
done
he had
that?
Driver's uniform on.
Yes, that was cool, wasn't it?
Yes, and his wife was out there, and I'm pretty sure I got this correct. Ryan Hunter Ray's wife is Robbie Gordon's sister.
Really, I did not know that.
You might want to look that up.
I'll Google it. I'm going to bring we'll bring Stephen back in, Tony.
Okay, good enough.
There he is. Stephen, yeah, me and Tony were just talking about Tony tweeted or Facebooked a picture of Ryan Hunter Ray's son playing on the yard of bricks there with a couple of Matchbox cars with the driver's suit on. Did you see that?
No, I did not see that at all.
That was pretty cool. That was pretty cool.
Yeah.
But,
very incredible.
Yeah. So, Tony, your overall take of the 500, I think myself with, I don't know if you and Steven talked about this earlier, but with Kurt Busch coming over from NASCAR, running the Indy, winning the Sunoco 2014 Rookie of the Year at the Indy 500, do you think that helped the ratings with the IZOD IndyCar Series, Tom?
Well, it is no longer the IZOD IndyCar Series. It is the Verizon IndyCar Series. And, yes, I do. I think it not only helped IndyCar, but it helped NASCAR as well. And I think it's a good thing that happened. I think we'll see more of it. And I pray that the venues get together and make it more logistically favorable for that to take place for other drivers. And we'll see more of it. And the bottom line, this is for the fans. God love these drivers, and we so appreciate what they do, but they're doing it for us. The sponsorship, we spend the money with the sponsors, and, you know, it all circles around making the fans happy. And what they did with the Coca-Cola 600, the Indianapolis 500, and Kurt Busch, yes, I must say, it is good.
Yes, sir, I do too. And, Tony, I've I don't think I've let you really introduce yourself. You know, myself and Stephen and Suzanne knows, but I would like, if you don't mind, would you tell the fans and the listeners exactly what your accomplishments were? Because I want them to know.
Well, I'm very happy to say that as a tire specialist, I was able to win the 2012 Indianapolis 500 with Dario Franchitti. That same year, it was the Izod IndyCar then, and we won the Izod IndyCar Pit Stop Championship with the best that there was. And then I went on from there with Scott Pruitt, Memo Rojas, Juan Pablo Montoya, and Charlie Kimball, and was honored enough to be a tire specialist and a fuel specialist, and won the Rolex 24 Hours of Daytona. And we won a lot of other races throughout my career. I also spent 10 years as National Safety Director for the American Speed Association. I've been involved in racing my whole life. Excuse me. I've been very blessed, but that's who I am. And I am with Brace Yourself out of Australia now, a safety device for the head and neck. And we are here to help drivers, young people, get money into the sport for people that need sponsorship and whatnot, and continue everyone's effort for the what we all love, motorsports and racing. I'm Tony Baginski, and thank you for allowing me on your show.
You're welcome, Tony. And what's that famous saying you always say right there at the end? Live, love, race, right?
That is my saying. Live, love, race.
Okay. Well, now, right up, before I let you go, you know, you said me and Stevens, you know, sort of jumped you in the fantasy racing thing, and I just want to hit you. Well, let me go ahead and I hadn't thanked none of our sponsors. Sponsor Speedway Digest Radio Network, Talladega Super Speedway, Talladega Short Track, Brace Yourself, big shout out to all them. Top Trails here in Talladega, Four Wheeler Track Trail out here, Mr. John Cullimore, my marketing guy at Coosa Valley. But Tony, before I let you go, you're saying that me and Stevens, you know, I've done jump to you in the Fantasy Racing League. I want to play this for you for just 1 second. And don't get mad and come down here and whoop me, because you're a lot bigger than me. Just check this
out. I'm your bodyguard. I won't whoop you. I'll just protect you.
That's 10-4. Check this out. Well, it won't play. Anyway. I had a good one.
You can't handle the truth.
I had to hit that button. Hey, Tony B, thank you very much. Myself and Stephen Wilson, we appreciate everything you do, what you've done for the sport. And now maybe the fans have heard exactly what you have done in the sport. And thank you very much for being a good friend to myself, Stephen, Todd Bixby, Suzanne, and just thanks for coming on and helping us out. But we sure appreciate it.
Not a problem, and I do want to say quickly, Stephen, prayers are out there for your wife and what she's going through. I'm thinking about you guys and praying about you guys. God bless you all, and thank you, and I really look forward to our show next Tuesday.
Thank you, buddy. Appreciate it.
Amen.
Take care, Tony B. We'll talk at you, bud.
All right. Bye-bye.
Okay, Stephen, that was, you know, Tony's pretty full of phony stuff, you know. He's got some rings to, you know, back that up. Stephen, is anything you want to throw out there as far as what you've got going on your website or as far as where your riders are going to the race? And you got the floor, bud.
Yeah, this weekend at Dover, we got 3 races, Trucks Nationwide and the Cup Series out there this weekend. So we got a lot of racing going on out there. Joseph, one of my riders, is going to be out there all weekend long. covering the race weekend for us. And thanks to shout out to him. He's got a show with Brett Renningham, my other driver, my other writer out there. They do a show on Thursday nights, the Speedy Digest. So it's going to be a good time. So he'll be out there. And then next week he'll also be again at Pocono covering the race weekend for us.
That's cool. Thank you very much.
One correction there. It's the trucks in the Sprint Cup. I don't think Nationwide is running this weekend.
Right. I don't think they are too, Steven. And, Steven, thank you again, bud. And thank you for all that you do for our sport, sport of NASCAR. And thanks to Tony B and Todd Bigsby. I mean, everybody that called in, AA. I mean, you know, everybody's trying to help the sport of NASCAR out, and I think we're on the up and coming. And Steven, I want to play this for you. I got all kind of buttons, and then check this out.
That's all, folks.
Just for you, Steven.
Well, thank you, bud. How much? I appreciate that.
All right. Thanks, bud. And you know, like I said, I'll get back with you someday whenever you got time, and we can try to figure out how to do these downloads of these interviews. And thank you again, Steven, and we'll talk at you later, my friend. Y'all have a good evening. And same as Tony B said, prayers to Miss Anne Marie. Miss Anne Marie will be fine, and I'm sure I can pray for Suzanne too, because she's a listening. But tell Miss Anne Marie we're thinking about her tomorrow, and don't worry about it. She'll be fine.
Ten four, buddy. Thanks a lot.
Yes, sir. Y'all have a good evening, bud.
Let's get ready to rumble!